My dear friends in Christ, there are many lessons that we might take from this beautiful gospel this morning. We may, of course, ask the question to ourselves, who is my neighbor? What is my duty in charity toward my fellow man? There is another lesson today that in the gospel today that the fathers of the church point out. And they say that this parable is connected very closely. It refers in a mystical way to the sacraments. And so I would like to review the sacraments this morning in general, because I believe it's always good to review the tenets of our faith, even if we've heard them before. Review is good. If by repetition we learn something very well, we can more easily spread this knowledge if someone asks us. And so the fathers of the church teach the sacraments are symbolized here. First, the man that falls in with robbers. This is human nature in the person of Adam. He is trapped by the devil and robbed of grace and the other supernatural gifts. The wounds of the man symbolize the injuries inflicted on human nature by original sin, the lessening of intellect, the malice of the will, concupiscence, the weakness of our lower nature. And the Good Samaritan is he who came to save the man. Of course, represents Christ, who pours on our injured souls the saving balm of the sacraments. He not only once saved our souls, but through his ministers, we might understand, the innkeeper, bishops and priests, he provides for our care until the end of time by administering the sacraments. And so again, in review, what is a sacrament? We learn in Catechism, a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. Now, of course, only God can be the author of a sacrament. Only God can confer grace. We know by their saving effects and by apostolic tradition that Christ personally instituted each of the sacraments. But in order to give us these essential helps continually after his ascension into heaven, he ordained his ministers to administer the sacraments in his stead. And we have this amazing apostolic succession. And this is something very mystical, but very true. Each of the priests in our own congregation and each and every truly ordained priest can trace his lineage back all the way to one of the apostles. To the apostles to whom were given the power of dispensing God's graces, of being other Christs. So what do the sacraments do for us in practice? First of all, they give us sanctifying grace, that grace that makes us in God's image and likeness. That grace, if we do not have the sanctifying grace, we cannot enter into heaven. There are two sacraments that are are called sacraments of the dead because they give life to the soul dead in sin. Baptism confers sanctifying grace to that soul that is in the state of original sin. That disease given to us by Adam. And confession restores the soul to sanctifying grace that is in the state of mortal sin. The other sacraments are sacraments of the living because they increase that life of grace in our soul. And this is another great effect. The sacramental grace that we receive, specific to each of the sacraments, a special help that we might need in a specific instance, or even just in fighting the good fight. The sacraments are likened by the fathers of the church to the seven streams by which grace flows to us. They are essential to our salvation and sanctification, and the graces and blessings that we can receive from the sacraments are endless. There's an analogy that is well used, but always good, and that is the analogy of the bank that gives away free money. How many of us, if we heard about a bank that was nearby or even far away, would take the time and the effort to go and bring in as much money as we could? We all need it. You would be crazy to not take advantage of that. But in a much more real way, the sacraments. We can approach the sacraments to receive endless amounts of grace if we so wish. So to not make proper use of this is truly some form of insanity. Now, to go through the sacraments very, very briefly, especially to consider that sacramental grace that we receive in each sacrament. How do each of the sacraments affect us? What graces can we receive from them? Now, first, baptism we have all received because this is essential to gaining heaven, but through this sacrament we know that we receive an indelible mark upon our souls. We are Catholic forever, not just for life, but for eternity. In a similar fashion, confirmation, we only receive once, also leaves an indelible mark upon our souls and gives us sustaining graces. Baptism and confirmation both. They give us graces to live out our lives as Catholics, as strong Catholics. Now, matrimony and holy orders confer incredible graces to those that live in these respective vocations, and specific graces. For the married, we know the many, many challenges. This is not an easy vocation by any means. And so there's a great need for special graces, and we receive these special graces through the sacrament of matrimony. And the same with orders or vows that are taken in connection with the sacrament of orders. We receive those special graces needed to perform the duties specific to that state. And extreme unction gives us irreplaceable graces when we are in that greatest trial at the end of our life, or even in danger of death. We should not put off calling the priest because there are extraordinary graces attached to the sacrament of extreme unction. But the sacraments that are most applicable, we might say, to each of us are the sacraments of confession or penance and Holy Communion. In confession, we have that plank after shipwreck, as the fathers of the church say, a chance to try again if we have committed serious sin. But even if we have not had the misfortune of falling into serious sin, there are incredible graces attached to this sacrament. Even if we go to confession devotionally, we should confess our venial sins, but we should go regularly because the sacrament of penance gives us those everyday graces to combat temptation, to put to flight the devil and his minions, to conquer our fallen human nature. And now, of course, the greatest of all the sacraments, Holy Communion. Because in Holy Communion, we receive the author of the sacraments, the bestower, the author of all grace, Jesus himself. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and here we have the opportunity to receive him into our body and our soul. And every day, if we wish, again, we think of that bank that gives out the free money. Why would we not come to the communion rail, receive our Lord worthily? This is a treasure trove of grace. My dear friends in Christ, as times become more uncertain, we need to remind ourselves more strongly and more often that nothing matters except for saving our immortal souls. We have first to seek the kingdom of heaven. This is our ultimate end and nothing else. And we have been given the means to this end. And in great part, it is the seven sacraments that will help us to realize this end. One last thought. Have you ever known a person who is genuinely caring? I think that we all have met a person, or maybe more than one person like this. This person is really, truly selfless. They would do anything for you. It's a joy to be around them, and they're an inspiration. And they love nothing more than to just help other people. And what a terrible thought to disregard a person like this. They offer their help and you just wave them away. What terrible ingratitude. What a lack of appreciation. My dear friends, Christ is the ultimate example of this person. If we have met a person like this in our own lives, they are only a weak image of Christ who wants nothing more than to save our immortal souls and to help us in any way that he can. How could we spurn his love? How could we wave him away when he wants to help us? So let us take full advantage of the means that he has given us the seven sacraments, particularly confession and Holy Communion. Let us show our gratitude to our good God and receive the sacraments often. Receive them well. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.